Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God, our Heavenly Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, first impressions are incredibly important, aren't they? And while there can be a million things that happen over the course of a relationship, the first impression is the one that sticks with you throughout this entire relationship. There may have been people you've met who have struck you the wrong way, or someone you met who you just instantly knew that you were going to be fast friends. We call this thing by a lot of names. We just click. Ah, they didn't strike me the right way. They rubbed me the wrong way. Yeah, we just kind of hit it off. See, oftentimes, you and I like to think that we are good judges of character, or at least I've never heard somebody say, yeah, I'm a pretty bad judge of character. See, you and I, we tend to trust our impressions that we get of people. We trust them as factual and determinative, even when we're wrong. So what's your first impression? Your first impression of the people at Philippi? Now, of course, you've never met them before, and perhaps you don't even know if you could pinpoint Philippi on a map. Well, no matter how familiar or unfamiliar you are with the people of Philippi, you've at least got a first impression. You see, this first impression, it's come long after the author of the letter, as well as the original recipients of this letter, have long been dead and buried. So, is it a good impression? Is it negative? Is it awful? Or is it just so-so? Well, it's far from so-so. See, Paul begins his letter to the people of Philippi by saying, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy. And notice just how many absolutes are in this opening sentence. He says, all my remembrance, always, in every prayer, for you all making my prayer in joy. See, Paul seems to think pretty highly of these people. And if you have a pretty good impression of Paul, you should think highly of them too. Well, Paul doesn't say that this just comes from nothing. He isn't offering empty praise as a way to make friends early or to start off the letter on a good note. You see, Paul says that he loves these people greatly, that his love stems from their partnership in the gospel. Partnership. Paul, often considered one of the greatest apostles in the Bible, he's calling these people partners. Not partners as in like a law firm or the kind of partners you go into business with. Paul views these people of Philippi as co-workers. They aren't esteemed over the employees, and they aren't over the entire authority of the church alongside Paul. But these Philippians are co-workers with Paul, working to spread and to share this gospel they've received. In our Acts reading that we read just a few minutes ago, we get a small flavor of what that looks like. We read, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. You see, people back then, they weren't used to the church. They didn't know what these people were all about. I mean, they didn't have a good impression of what the church was all about. In fact, that's not actually too different from where we are today. Because you and I, we talk about an awful lot of things that don't make sense to the world around us. Jesus Christ, he's both God and man. He's one person of the Trinity, which is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But we still only have one God. We were brought into this family by water combined with the words of God. Together, you and I and all the followers of his church partake in Christ's body and blood through bread and wine. You see, we say the words of Jesus, if you want to be first, got to be last. If you want to be great, serve others and help them to be great. You see, while some of this stuff makes sense to you and I, the rest of the world doesn't even know where to start. So what are the things then that you and I can share? Well, these days, sharing has like a million different meanings. Is it enough to just share a video, to share a post, to share an article or a news paper? Share a photo? You see, you and I, we can easily share these videos and articles on Facebook, and even during our Zoom Bible studies, we easily share the screen. But what is Paul talking about? How can you and I do this today? Well, if we look at our Acts reading again, we notice something unique. See, the people of God, they were sharing his word, yes, but they were also sharing something incredibly important: each other. I mean, they weren't borrowing one another to do household duties, but they were sharing life. They had fellowship. Of course, this fellowship is not just about potlucks and trunk or treats. This fellowship was around grace. Paul says, "For you are all partakers with me of grace." You see, these people of Philippi, they were partners and they were partakers. You see, what the people shared with Paul was grace. And it might not seem like such a big deal, certainly not now when you and I talk about grace, mercy, and peace opening every single sermon. When grace is such a common word here in the church, it might not leave much of an impression. But for Paul, this was something he included when he wrote his letters to the churches of Philippi. You see, for him, it's something that between you and I, this partaking of grace, between us, it's incredibly important. Grace. Getting what you don't deserve is how you and I share that God has given us so much more than we could possibly deserve. For we know that all we do deserve is death, hell, and damnation. Therefore, this sharing of grace with one another, this sharing of grace with the world, it shows how we are set apart. Because grace is something that you and I can share at all times. See, in hospitality, there is grace, God-given grace. Of course, right, this hospitality, it doesn't come from you and me. It comes from God himself, and that's what makes us partakers and partners, not owners or distributors. You see, you and I, we partake in this grace when we love one another. You share this grace when you forgive those whom the world says you have a right to hold a grudge against. You share this grace when you forgive, when people in the world say the best option is anger and wrath. Grace is shown when you and I sit down and try and explain things in the kindest and best possible way. Grace is shared when we're hospitable here in the church. And surely enough, there are times where you and I don't feel graceful, just as there are times where you and I don't want to be hospitable. This world, it encourages people to look out for themselves, to look out for number one. So if you're angry, that's okay, as long as it works for you. Satan tells you that everyone but you, they're stupid and they're wrong. And there's this desire for ourselves to be the focus of everything, to be the main characters of our own story, and to look only for our own needs. But goodness gracious, talk about a lousy impression. See, people in this world, they're used to seeing hate and anger. You and I know that we can find judgment and wrath on every corner. Just open a Facebook page and get to scrolling. Check out that wonderful little thing called the comment section. We can easily find people who disagree with us. We can easily find people who are hateful and angry. Finding hate, it's easy. And it's even harder, right? When this hate or this anger is directed towards the church that you and I love so dearly. Christ said, "Love those who hate you and pray for those who persecute you. Give them what they don't deserve." Because, I mean, until you and I were brought into this family by water included with the Word of God, you and I were getting exactly what we deserved: death, hell, and damnation. But thanks be to God that he baptized us, that he brought us into this family. See, as this church, as brothers and sisters in Christ, let us then approve of the things that are excellent. Let us approve what is love. Let us approve what is kindness. Let us approve speaking well of one another, showing this kindness. Let's look to the benefits of our neighbors, not just ourselves. Let us let love run rampant where hate threatens to abound. You see, because this is the impression I get of the church of Philippi. Not because they were some superhuman people who were somehow better than the people around them, and they were decided on their own that they wanted to love people, but because they were showing that Christ first showed them hospitality. So maybe you and I struggle with first impressions. Or you might even feel as though you don't make any kind of impression. But as the people of God, here and now in Iowa City, our Redeemer is making an impression. In the days and months and years ahead, you and I as the people of God will continue to make an impression in the lives of the people around us, in the world around us. Not because you and I have this human desire to show hospitality, and not because we are so great, but because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed.
Alleluia.
Talk about an impression. So be it. Amen. As followers of Christ, keep loving one another earnestly and show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Amen.